Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
markets react to the latest developments in Ukraine.
U.S. futures and stocks are falling, but they're off their lows of the morning. Global team coverage is straight ahead.
Treasuries climb, taking 10-year yields below 1.9%.
And oil rallies and gold rises to an 8-month high.
New York City's subway safety plan begins. Plus, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson lifts COVID mandates in the UK. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Nets have added a veteran point guard, and Michigan basketball coach Juwan Howard got his suspension.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are falling this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are lower. They are off the lows of the morning, but they are down 7 points right now. Dow futures down 70, and NASDAQ futures down 77, and futures have been bouncing around a lot. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield is 1.91%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.50%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 4.2%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, this market volatility comes following the latest developments in Ukraine. Russia's actions are being condemned at an emergency session of the UN Security Council. At the same time, Russia is accusing the West of inflaming the standoff. Let's get the latest from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he recognizes two self-proclaimed separatist republics in eastern Ukraine, a dramatic escalation in Russia's standoff with the West. The decrees include an order to send what he calls peacekeeping forces into those breakaway regions, with no word on how many troops will go in or when. Russia's ambassador hit back at last night's UN Security Council meeting.
We are forced to note the extremely negative role played in all of this by our Western colleagues, led by the USA. Instead of forcing Kiev to implement its obligations, they have merely been openly egging Ukraine on.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky urged calm in a late-night address to the nation. Hours later, Ukraine's ambassador to the UN warned there will be further invasion. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is among those condemning the actions of Vladimir Putin.
I think it's a very ill omen and a very dark sign. And certainly an indication, that things are moving in the wrong direction in Ukraine.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson says there's evidence that President Putin plans a full-scale invasion, and it's vital that he should not succeed.
Well, stocks in Europe are now mixed in response to the situation in Ukraine. Let's continue our global team coverage. Bloomberg's Max Ramsey joins us live from our London bureau. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Something of a risk reversal in the past hour as the geopolitics continues to feed into a lot of volatility. We are fairly steady across European equities now. In a sign of how big a change that is, we were looking at a loss of around 2% earlier on the Stock 600, but right now trading up 0.1%. The FTSE 100 gains 0.4%. The DAX in Germany flat. European bond yields reverse earlier gains with a bit of risk appetite returning. The 10-year German Bund yield rising 1 basis point, 0.214%. The yield there. It is a mixed picture still for Russian assets with the possibility of sanctions, but definitely not the pain we were seeing earlier on the benchmark. MOEX stock index falling 4% right now. The ruble, though, actually gaining against the dollar, up 0.8%, 79.13 per dollar right now. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Max, thank you. Stocks slid in Asia overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally continues our team coverage with the details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell for a third day towards its lowest level this month, including sharp declines in Hong Kong, where Russia-based aluminum producer Rusal sank the most since 2018. Chinese tech firms dropped the Hang Seng Tech Index, heading for the lowest close since the inception of that gauge in 2020. Alibaba leading declines there following a Bloomberg report that authorities have begun another round of checks on its fintech business arm. Gold stocks were bid this amongst the search for havens and yields on benchmark Japanese and Australian debt fell. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. The equity sell-off will steepen if the situation in Ukraine worsens. That's according to Goldman Sachs, which says outright conflict in Ukraine coupled with punitive sanctions could push U.S. stocks down another 6% from Friday's close. The bank predicts the worst equity losses in Europe and Japan. Goldman says in a worst-case scenario, a 10% decline in Russia's currency would push oil up 13% and cause a 27 basis point decline in benchmark treasury yields.
And speaking of treasuries, Nathan, long-dated yields are little changed now this morning. Geopolitics are the latest catalyst, but the Fed and commodity prices are also playing a role. And we get more from Bloomberg's Joanna Hossinger.
Right now, we really have had this drop back in treasury yields. But a lot of that is on the idea it could stop the Fed from hiking as much. You have haven demand, that sort of thing. But then you do have the commodity prices potentially seeing sustained increases. If so, a lot of the question then would be, can the global economy handle it? Will it really start to bite? So if you start to get the inflation in addition to everything else, it could be trouble. But for now, the markets are saying that treasury yields need to go lower.
And Bloomberg's Joanna Hossinger sees risk-off sentiment across the board this morning. Right now, 10-year Treasury yields are at 1.92%.
Well, oil, nickel, and aluminum have been jumping, Karen, as traders weigh the risk of supply disruptions from potential sanctions against Russia. European gas prices have surged more than 10%. Checking oil right now, Brent crude's up 2.75% at $98.02 a barrel. NYMEX crude is up 4.2% at $94.90. Gold is trading at an 8-month high this morning. Checking gold on the COMEX, it's at $1,897.80 an ounce.
Interest rates are also on the radar this morning, Nathan. Fed Governor Michelle Bowman suggests that a 50 basis point rate hike could be on the table next month. She told a conference in California it's too early to tell. Bowman says she favors, quote, forceful action to quell high inflation.
Turning to the pandemic now, Karen, Hong Kong continues to battle rising COVID infections. That has the city extending pandemic restrictions another 2 months. Chief Executive Carrie Lam says virus curbs will be extended till late April.
And we're watching shares of Home Depot reported. It just reported earnings. Shares are up 0.9% in early trading, and it reported fourth quarter comp sales that easily beat analyst estimates, up 8.1%. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City has started its latest plan to tackle both crime and homelessness in subways. There were more than a half dozen attacks in trains and stations over the holiday weekend. Mayor Eric Adams says the new subway safety plan involves sending more police, mental health clinicians, and social service outreach workers into the subways. Police will crack down on sleeping and smoking in the subway system. However, some advocates are cautioning against criminalizing homelessness and mental illness. Britain is lifting many of its COVID restrictions, including requirements for self-isolation following a positive test. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
We have now passed the peak of the Omicron wave, with cases falling, hospitalizations in England now fewer than 10,000 and still falling, and the link between infection and severe disease substantially weakened.
Johnson said the UK must learn to live with the coronavirus. Meanwhile, scientific advisors are warning infections will rise. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said his government will retain emergency powers for at least a few more days because of ongoing demonstration threats over vaccine mandates. It comes even after police cleared all blockades across the country. Meanwhile, a group of U.S. truckers is copying Canadian protesters in Ottawa. An organizer says a convoy departs Scranton, Pennsylvania tomorrow. Then they'll head to Washington, D.C. and attempt to paralyze traffic on the Beltway. The group says it's protesting liberal government policies. The federal hate crimes trial of three white men who chased and killed Ahmaud Arbery is in the hands of the jury. Deliberations in the Georgia case are scheduled to resume this morning in U.S. District Court. All three defendants were already convicted of murder months ago for chasing and killing the 25-year-old black man. Now each could get another life sentence for hate crimes charges. The jury was presented with testimony by witnesses of racist statements the men had allegedly made. Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones.
I knew from the very start that they were racist. Not surprised at all.
Father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan chased Arbery after spotting him running in their neighborhood 2 years ago. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. When the Nets return for the All-Star break, they'll have a new point guard. 35-year-old Goran Dragic, 15-year veteran, helped Miami reach the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. Started this season with Toronto, went to Oklahoma City, where he asked for and got his release. The Lakers, Warriors, Bucks were all said to be also interested in adding Dragic. By now, many have seen the video of what happened in the handshake line after Michigan's loss Sunday at Wisconsin. Michigan coach Juwan Howard upset about a late timeout call with the game decided. He slapped the head of a Wisconsin assistant. Howard's been suspended for 5 games. Most felt that was the minimum he'd get and could have gotten more. He'll return to the Big Ten tournament. Syracuse last night, a 1-point overtime win over Georgia Tech. There was some optimism yesterday with word that the two sides of the baseball lockout had been meeting for 5 hours, but when it ended, the word was they didn't really get into the key issues in the stalemate, the deadline for getting the labor deal done and being able to keep opening day as planned. It's going to be sometime next week. 9.5 months after Medina Spirit crossed the finish line first at the Kentucky Derby, the horse, who died 2 months ago, has had that victory stripped. It tested positive for a steroid that is legal except on race day, so Mandalown goes into the books as the winner. Only the second time in 146 runs for the Roses where the winning horse was DQ'd because of a banned substance. If you bet on Mandalown to win, still have your ticket. You're still out of luck. The betting doesn't change. John Stashowin, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 10 points. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures down 89 points as investors continue to weigh the latest risk involving Ukraine. A headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says Nord Stream 2 can't move forward right now following Russia's recognition of the separatist republics to its, the east of Ukraine. Right now, the 10-year Treasury is up 1/32, the yield 1.92%. Julie Norman of University College London with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Afternoon rain with a high in the low 50s today. Mid-60s for highs tomorrow, partly sunny. It'll be cloudy and cold on Thursday with highs in the upper 30s. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, watching shares of Home Depot after it said comparable store sales, a key metric for retailers, increased 8.1% in the fourth quarter, and that easily beat analyst estimates. Shares are up 1.2%. We're also watching shares of Houghton Mifflin. They're up more than 14%. It's being bought by Veritas Capital for $21 a share in cash. Meanwhile, S&P futures are lower this morning, down 8 points. Dow futures down 73. NASDAQ futures down 78. They're off their lows of the morning. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 1.92%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.50%. NYMEX crude oil is up 4%, up $3.61 at $94.68 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed at $1,898 an ounce. The euro, 1.135. Against the dollar. British pound, 1.3573. The yen's at 114.92. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $37,630. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. World leaders are lining up to condemn Russian President Vladimir Putin after he ordered his forces into separatist regions of eastern Ukraine. Global reaction followed last night's emergency meeting of the UN Security Council. Russia, meanwhile, called the forces peacekeeping troops. In college basketball, Michigan coach Juwan Howard has been suspended the final 5 games of the regular season and fined $40,000 for hitting a Wisconsin assistant in the head during a post-game melee. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Julie Norman is with us now, lecturer on politics and international relations and professor at University College London. As we continue watching headlines cross surrounding the situation in Ukraine, Professor, I wanted to take a bit of a step back here and just get your thoughts on the significance of this declaration from President Putin last night, recognizing the separatist regions in eastern Ukraine. What does this represent on a historical level?
Well, Nathan, it is quite significant, and we heard three things from Putin yesterday, all which were quite notable. First was his hour-long speech, essentially trying to sell the sense of this incursion to the Russian people and kind of laying out all different kinds of grievances from a kind of personal standpoint as well as from Russia more broadly. Secondly, was then recognizing the breakaway regions in the eastern part of Ukraine and the Donbas. These regions have been in conflict since 2014, since the Crimea time period as well. As we know, there was a very kind of tenuous peace agreement put in place, the Minsk agreements, that there were signals from both sides they felt it was not being upheld. That area has been in kind of low-intensity conflict since then, and last week there were signs that that was escalating, and it was, I think it was not a surprise that that area would be used as a pretext for invasion. Recognizing those regions, though, takes it even a step further. It allows Russia to essentially start sending in their troops, which is what which is exactly what Putin said he would do. And so we're starting to see that movement there. Again, this has been widely condemned as a violation of international law, violating Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, but it does change the stakes there significantly.
And I guess the question now is, does Russia stop there with the recognition of those two republics, given what the president had to say last night in his speech? Does he have his sights on Ukraine more broadly?
Well, that is the question now, Nathan, is if this act yesterday will be almost a very significant, but almost a face-saving way for Putin to make this very grand move, but then pull back from a kind of larger scale invasion into the rest of Ukraine, or if this is just a starting point into something larger. Again, it allows him to move troops just that much closer into the heart of Ukraine. And again, we still see that massing of troops on other parts of Ukraine's borders, which are closer to Kiev and further away from these regions. So that is the, I guess, the larger threat that is still outstanding, while also trying to limit the impacts of what is a really significant incursion in these eastern areas.
What are you looking for next in terms of a response from the U.S. and European allies? It looks like there's a lot of question as to whether, at least for the allies, what Russia's done now constitutes an invasion of Ukraine. What are you looking for in terms of a response?
Yeah, so the UN Security Council held an emergency meeting last night where we heard numerous states kind of condemn this action. But the real indications will come today with the extent to which the U.S. and other NATO states employ sanctions against Russia. We've already heard that there will be sanctions in terms of sanctioning investment and trade in those breakaway regions. But the question is whether those larger sanctions against Russia will be triggered by this act. Again, the fact that Putin took this more smaller scale invasion, it's a very savvy move on his part in the sense that it kind of throws the West into a sense of uncertainty about how serious that is and if it will trigger all the large-scale sanctions that have been discussed. I expect that we'll see the U.S. and also the U.K. Kind of target some companies and individuals in Russia, but it'll be interesting to see today how far they move on some of those larger, harder-hitting sanctions in terms of cutting off Russian banks and companies from pounds and dollars. So I think they will probably take a more augmented approach to the sanctions, but that's what we'll be waiting to hear about today.
Yeah, lots more development to come for sure. Julie Norman, professor at University College London, as always, thank you for giving us your thoughts as we continue to watch these developments unfold. Julie Norman is a lecturer on politics and international relations at University College London. Futures moving lower, but pairing some of the earlier losses in the session. S&P futures now down almost 8 points. Dow futures are lower by 61. NASDAQ futures are down 80 points. European stocks have taken a to turn just a bit higher. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris higher by 0.4%. The 10-year little change now. The yield 1.92% on the 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude's up 4.1%, up $3.76, $94.83 a barrel. Just ahead, more on the West's condemnations of Russia's moves, and another Fed official opens the door to aggressive rate hikes. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Afternoon rain, a breeze today. Highs in the low 50s, mid-60s tomorrow under a partly sunny sky. Cloudy, cold for Thursday with highs only in the upper 30s. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.58%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are lower, but off their worst levels of the morning as tensions between Russia and the West intensify. The U.N. Security Council had an emergency meeting after Russia decided to move troops into separatist regions of Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the very latest.
The UN has demanded a cessation of aggression, and U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, says this is a Vladimir Putin attempt to set up a narrative for it to invade Ukraine on a larger basis.
Russia's clear attack on Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity is unprovoked. It is an attack on Ukraine's status as a UN member state. It violates a basic principle of international law, and it defies our charter.
Greenfield says the U.S. will announce further sanctions later today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Reaction continues to pour in this morning to the situation in Ukraine. We spoke with former Prime Minister of Finland, Alexander Stubb.
I do think this is actually an invasion. And if it's an invasion, I think the sooner the sanctions are on the ground, the better. And I do think that Putin needs to be hit hard, because otherwise he'll continue this type of behavior.
Former Finnish Prime Minister Alexander Stubb made the comments in an interview on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Nathan, the situation in Ukraine is resulting in moves in Treasury and commodity markets. Checking yields on the 10-year Treasury right now at 1.92%. And oil is also rallying. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up 3.9%. It's at $94.65 a barrel. Brent is up 2.6% at $97.87.
Well, it remains to be seen, Karen, how much impact the conflict will have on interest rates. But Fed Governor Michelle Bowman says a 50 basis point hike could be on the table next month. She told a conference in California, it's too early to tell. Bowman says she favors, quote, forceful action to quell high inflation.
And Nathan, on the earnings front, shares of Home Depot are up 1.4%. The home improvement retailer posting fourth quarter sales that beat analyst estimates. S&P futures are lower, down 12 points. Dow futures down 104. NASDAQ futures down 90. And the 10-year Treasury again up 1/32. The yield 1.92%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. A crackdown is underway on crime in New York City's subway system. New York City Mayor Eric Adams' new safety plan comes after more than six people were attacked from the Bronx to Midtown Manhattan to Brooklyn over the holiday weekend. According to Mayor Adams, the city will send more cops, mental health specialists, and outreach workers onto trains. Police will crack down on sleeping and smoking in the subways, but some advocates are cautioning against criminalizing homelessness and mental illness. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the country must learn to live with COVID-19. Johnson ended pandemic rules in England.
Levels of immunity are so high, and deaths are now, if anything, below where you would normally expect for this time of year, that we can lift these
restrictions.
Johnson says starting Thursday, people with COVID will no longer have to self-isolate. Jury deliberations resume today in the federal hate crimes trial against Ahmaud Arbery's killers. Prosecutors say Travis and Gregory McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan chased and gunned down Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia because he was black. Defense attorneys claim they were just concerned neighbors trying to conduct a citizen's arrest. The jury was presented with testimony by witnesses of racist statements the men had allegedly made about Aubrey's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones.
I knew from the very start that they were racist. Not surprised at all.
The men already given life in prison for Aubrey's murder could get life sentences again on the hate crimes charges. Closing arguments are expected today in the federal civil rights trial of the three former police officers who were with Derek Chauvin on the day he murdered George Floyd. Prosecutors and defense attorneys will deliver their final points to jurors in the trial of Tu Tao, J. Alexander King, and Thomas Lane, the three former Minneapolis police officers who were with Derek Chauvin when he put his knee on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes, killing him. All three are charged with depriving Floyd of his civil rights. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, the Nets are going to try and make some history, be the first team to win an NBA championship in a season where they had an 11-game losing streak. The Nets feel that when Kevin Durant returns, Ben Simmons debuts, and who knows, maybe even Kyrie Irving can start playing home games, they can win a title, and that's why they just signed veteran point guard Goran Dragic. 35-year-old, 15-year NBA veteran, was a free agent, several other teams wanted it. Michigan began the college basketball season ranked 6th in the country. Wolverines are just 14-11. Frustration may have contributed to their coach, Jawan Howard, slapping the head of a Wisconsin assistant after Sunday's loss. In the handshake line, no less, the Big Ten has suspended Howard for the next 5 games. Many feel the baseball lockout will continue until they reach the deadline of getting the deal done or face not starting the season on time. That deadline is expected to be sometime next week. Two sides met yesterday in Florida for 5 hours, but still said to be far apart on the key issue. Aaron Rodgers with a lengthy Instagram post where he referred to his time spent in Green Bay in the past tense. Rodgers has said he wants a resolution on his future around the time teams have to decide on franchise tags, and that window begins today. For only the second time in Kentucky Derby history, the horse that crossed the finish line first is not the winner, and it's due to a positive test for a banned drug. Medina Spirit stripped Mandalown becomes the winner. Medina Spirit's trainer, Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, already banned from Churchill Downs for 2 years and now a 3-month suspension from all racetracks. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta joins us on what has been a very volatile morning on all the geopolitics, Kriti. I wonder how this tension is affecting stocks with exposure to Russia risk.
Yeah, well, good morning, Nathan. There is a lot of kind of green on the screen when you really dive deep into it. On the surface, futures down, I think, about 0.4%. If you look underneath the hood, though, naturally a lot of it is going to fall into the commodities complex. We know Brent crude hit as high as $99 a barrel, getting really close to that scary $100 level, and that's translating into some of those oil companies in the pre-market. Let me give you some examples here. Marathon Oil is the top of the charts. MRO is your ticker this morning. 5.4% rally in the pre-market. A similar story for Devon Energy. DVN is your ticker, up 4.4% in the pre-market. And of course, Apache APA up 4.1%. The thing that all of these names have in common, Nathan, is they are domestic producers. In the event of a invasion or a continued war or continued geopolitical tensions, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on those domestic shale companies. And these are the companies that have the best exposure to American crude production. So naturally, you see an early bid into those names. A similar story when it comes to Alcoa. AA is your ticker, up 3.2% in the pre-market. Remember, Russia is the second largest aluminum producer in the world. So you do see a lot of those bids going into aluminum names, specifically in the United States. In, once again, the absence of that supply, American companies do have to benefit. You can see, once again, investors really putting a bid into that stock early this morning. A similar story when it comes to defense names, although not with the same enthusiasm. This is a pretty easy read through, Nathan, right? The idea that if there's a war, if there's an invasion, those defense names are going to rally.
Sure.
Lockheed Martin is one of them. LMT is your ticker, up 0.5%. Raytheon is the other, RTX, up 0.1%, Nathan.
Yeah, but it's certainly interesting to hear how all the commodity stocks are being affected by what's going on. And given the geopolitics, it's sort of taken earnings off the front burner, but we do have some earnings to report this morning.
We do. I mean, it's funny that we're not actually paying that much attention to earnings given all the geopolitical tension, to your point. But Home Depot actually coming out this morning. HD is your ticker, up 1.4% in the pre-market, projecting a deceleration in profit growth in 2022 after a bumper end to last year. Once again, showing that the pandemic-fueled spending on home improvement is starting to fade. The real highlight, though, of this kind of earnings report, despite that deceleration, is their comp sales numbers coming in at 8.1% in the fourth quarter compared to a 5.3% estimate. So although they are projecting slower growth, it seems they did pretty well in the last quarter.
All right. Thanks for this. As always, Creedy, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with us in the pre-market. As we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of this Tuesday morning open, we do see red on the screen for the most part, with S&P futures down 17 points now. Dow futures down 137. NASDAQ futures are lower by 118 points. European stocks have been swinging between gains and losses. Now they're mostly back in the red as well, with the DAX in Germany down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris, little change to the downside. 10-year Treasury now up 1/32nd, the yield at 1.92%, yield on the 2-year 1.51. NYMEX crude up 3.8%, up $3.43, $94.50 a barrel. Bitcoin, $37,500. Stay with us. We'll get the latest the view from the nation's capital with Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, rain developing this afternoon with highs in the low 50s, partly sunny, mild tomorrow, mid 60s. We'll be back in the upper 30s by Thursday. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures trading in the red right now, with Dow futures down 232 points. S&P's dropped 31. Well, the NASDAQ futures off by 169. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.93%. Gold is down 11. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.1%. Hong Kong fell 2.7% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed right now. And note that Germany said the Nord Stream 2 certification can't happen right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, February PMIs, and at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Home Depot Q4 comp sales up 8.1%. Estimate was 5.3%. And Medtronic missed estimates. Wrapping things up, AMD was raised to outperform at Bernstein. Visteon raised to buy at Goldman Sachs. And DraftKings cut to equal weight over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia is tightening tensions and the threat of war in Ukraine. Russian President Putin sent troops into two breakaway regions of eastern Ukraine that are controlled by Russia-backed rebels. Ukrainian President Zelensky said his nation is unafraid and would cede nothing. Canadian lawmakers have voted to extend the emergency powers for police to quell any potential restart of blockades protesting COVID restrictions. In college basketball, Michigan coach Juwan Howard has been suspended the final five games of the regular season and fined $40,000 for a post-game melee. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Homicide is the pandemic's biggest killer of young black men. I'm Justin Fox.
a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Who suffers when the murder rate goes up, as it has during the COVID-19 pandemic? Black Americans, mostly. Despite making up only around 13% of the U.S. population, blacks accounted for 56% of the country's homicide victims in 2020 and 66% of the increase over the year before. Incomplete data for last year show more of the same. Young black men face the highest risk. Homicide was the number one killer of black men ages 15 through 44 in 2020. For the country as a whole, by contrast, it didn't even rank in the top 15 causes of death. This pandemic murder wave is another epidemic. Its victims disproportionately young men who ought to have long lives ahead of them. We need to stop it. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 50 college for undergraduate entrepreneurship studies by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is seeking to turn the page on the pandemic despite warnings from his scientific advisors. Johnson said the country must learn to live with the coronavirus as he ended restrictions in England. He's laid out a plan to lift all legal curbs. Johnson said they'll be replaced by common sense and personal responsibility. 43% of full-time employees worked at home in 2020. That's almost double the 22% reported in 2019. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, those numbers appear to be leveling off. But in many industries, remote work is becoming the norm rather than the exception, especially with new variants of COVID continuing to circulate throughout the U.S. And U.S. regulators are investigating HSBC over bankers' misuse of services such as WhatsApp. The London-based bank said it's cooperating with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission probe. HSBC CEO Noel Quinn tells Bloomberg it's part of a broad investigation across all financial institutions. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the West pushing on sanctions after Putin recognizes separatist republics in Ukraine, the U.S. condemning Russia's move at the U.N. Security Council, and the United States ordering personnel out of Ukraine as the Russian threat persists. For the very latest view from the nation's capital, let's bring in our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. As we continue to watch these developments unfold, Joe, very interesting to see the top of the fold headline in the Washington Post this morning. White House wrestles with what counts as an invasion.
Yes.
What is it that the White House is wrestling with here?
Well, it's a great question as we all kind of wake up to this very same question. A senior administration official briefed reporters in a call last evening, which is typical ahead of, the next day's news cycle. And here we are. They said Vladimir Putin's address was, quote, a speech to the Russian people to justify a war. That from the White House. They reiterated sanctions being imposed on the two separatist regions. They stopped short of calling this an invasion, though, and in fact said, quote, Russian troops moving into the Donbas would not itself be a new step, unquote. They pointed out repeatedly on this call, Nathan, that Russia has had forces in that region for the better part of 8 years. So this leaves us with a lot of big questions this morning. What qualifies as an invasion? What sanctions might be triggered? And do we keep talking? Remembering there was this meeting set for Thursday with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and Sergey Lavrov that was supposed to set the stage for a greater meeting, potentially a summit of leaders. And all of this is now up in the air.
Yeah, I guess that's that meeting is still on the table, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, look,
where
no
do things go from
no
here?
One's canceled it, but also, you know, a lot is going to take place in the next 12 to 24 hours here. We should note, by the way, that before yesterday's action in Moscow, the Secretary of State, again, Antony Blinken, had said that acknowledging the Donetsk and Luhansk regions would be a, quote, gross violation of international law, unquote. He also said it would, quote, necessitate a swift and firm response from the U.S., unquote. Now, on that call last evening, the administration made clear that further sanctions would be imposed today. They did not detail, however, what those would be. And we're hearing a real outcry, Nathan, as you're seeing as well from Capitol Hill, with a lot of lawmakers who want more than this.
Yeah, and it was interesting as well to note that when the president announced the sanctions triggered by the Donetsk and Luhansk recognition, that they pointed out that it was separate from the sanctions that they're considering should Russia go even further here. The question now, I guess, is what further sanctions could be imposed? What would deter Putin at this point, given that the threat of sanctions that the White House has said is its deterrence doesn't seem to have had that impact at this point?
No, and Sergei Lavrov said yesterday, you know, we've learned to live with sanctions. There are a lot of questions about what that would be. We did hear from the Chancellor of Germany, Nathan, about an hour ago, saying, quote, no certification of Nord Stream 2 can happen right now, unquote. That's a pretty big deal. He would not go that far when he was at the White House a couple of weeks ago. Chancellor Scholz basically putting down now this Nord Stream 2 issue once and for all. Play that against what we heard as well, though, from the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi, who said sanctions should be effective but also sustainable, with great concerns that there could be, major repercussions in the energy sector here. About a third of European energy comes from Russia, and they're deeply worried about what the cost of all of this will be. But my goodness, to see the statements again coming from Capitol Hill, this administration, the Biden administration, will only have so much time to get around this today. Democratic and Republican leaders on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee both out with statements. The chair, Robert Menendez, the Democrat, says crushing sanctions should be imposed if any additional Russian troops cross into Donbass. The ranking member, James Risch, Nathan, says recognizing the republics, that move that Putin made yesterday, is tantamount to invasion, and sanctions should be imposed immediately. It really caught my eye. Chris Coons, the senator from Delaware, he hails from Joe Biden's state. They're known to be allies, saying that the time for taking action to impose significant costs starts now, Nathan.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch as the White House says they will be announcing further sanctions today. So we know you'll be watching that very closely. Joe Matthew, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio, weeknights at 5 p.m. Eastern, every night on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. February is Black History Month, and every day this month, we are celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now, with your installment for February 22nd, here is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black History in 1989, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince win the first rap Grammy for the crossover hit.
Parents just don't understand.
But the duo, also known as Jeff Towns and Will Smith, were not there to pick up their award. When it was decided that the Soul Rap Award would be announced during the non-televised portion of the Grammys, the hip-hop world boycotted. Smith at the time called the idea of an afternoon award,
but it's a slap in the face.
While there were critics, supporters of the boycotts thought the stance helped the duo cement what would become decades of success in music, television, and film. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.